want to read from Daniel 9, a few verses from Daniel 9. Daniel 9, and we'll begin it at verse 3. Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Daniel 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fastenings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. We'll go down to verse 11. Yea, all Israel hath transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God. Because we have sinned against him, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. And we'll just go till verse 17 there, for the sake of time. Now therefore, O our God, hear thy prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken, and do defer not, for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. We'll end there just at that verse 21. You know, there are many prayers in the Bible for our learning. We could think of so many tonight. You could think of Abraham prayed for Sodom, Moses prayed for Israel, David prayed for repentance, Elijah prayed for drought and rain, Elisha prayed for sight and blindness, Gideon prayed for the proof of God's call, Hannah prayed for a son, Isaac prayed for children, Jacob prayed and wrestled with God, Jonah prayed for deliverance, Samson prayed for strength, Jesus prayed at the tomb of Lazarus and in many other occasions. But here we have Daniel, and he prayed for the Jews. So we want to look at this Daniel, chapter 9. And you know, when the name of Daniel is mentioned, we always associate Daniel with prayer. We always think Daniel was a man of prayer, and rightly so. Daniel was a man of prayer. And what a testimony that is. Just to be called a man of prayer or a woman of prayer. Firstly, I want us to notice Daniel's approach here. How did Daniel approach God? Look at verse 4 of Daniel 9 and the verse 4. And I prayed, he says, unto the Lord my God. Verse 3 says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication. Daniel set his face And he says, I prayed unto the Lord my God. Here is Daniel's humble, serious, reverent address to God. Daniel realizes that God is a God to be feared. You look at that verse 4 which we read. It says, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, one to be feared. O Lord, the great and dreadful God. And Isaiah 8 and 13 we read, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let the Lord be your fear. We could just turn over to Matthew. Matthew 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body and hell. Turn to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4 and the verse 10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Not only have we to fear the Lord our God, but this verse teaches us that we have to teach our children to fear the Lord our God. Psalm 2 and 11, we read, Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 33, 18, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You ever think of that? If you don't hate evil, there's not much fear of God about you. That's what this verse teaches here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I wonder, do we hate evil? If we fear the Lord, we will hate evil with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. So David, he reminds himself of who God is. He's the great and dreadful God, one to be feared and held in awe. And you know, every time we come into God's presence, we need to be so careful how we address God. But or Daniel, I said David, Daniel was one here that feared and was great fear and dreaded God and the fear of God. And he's the God that keeps his covenant and mercy to them that keep his commandments. In verse 4 we're told. You know, these words describe the God's faithfulness to his covenant people. You know, God is faithful to his word. Sometimes men would promise us things, and we all did. And sometimes we can't keep our word, but not so with God. God is faithful to his word. 1 Timothy 2, 13, we read, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hebrews 10, 23, it says, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. See, our God is faithful. You know, in verse 7, Daniel highlights God's righteousness. For God is a God that doeth right. Numbers 23:19 we read, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So with Daniel's approach to God, but I want us to notice his appeal to God. Look at the verse 4 again. Of chapter 9. He says, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You see, Daniel Daniel knew well that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But Daniel says, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You'll notice that he confesses his own sins before he starts praying for the nation. Look at verse 5. He says, we have sinned as a nation. You know, Daniel was a straight talking man. There was no ifs and buts about what Daniel said. And Daniel calls sin for what it really is. Just notice the words he uses in that verse there. It says, we have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Romans 3:23, we know it so well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, I want us to notice first those words there, committed iniquity. Psalm 106 verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And Jeremiah 3 and 8 we read, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Think of it. Jeremiah 8 and 12 says, were they ashamed when they committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Think of it. No shame. No blush. And they prayed at their sins openly. And is it not the day we're living in? Prating sin openly upon the streets. And the Lord says, no shame. Never even blushed. Secondly, notice those words, rebelled by departing from thy precepts. Look at verse 5. Rebelled by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Isaiah 1 and 2 we read, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. You know, as I read that verse, I thought there was many as a father and many as a mother could react to those words. Nourished children, brought them up, they've rebelled. But don't forget, this is God speaking. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. This is the Lord speaking about his own redeemed people. And it says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. You know, rebellion against God is an evil sin. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23 reads like this. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Have you ever think of rebellion like that? Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. You know, we would have nothing to do with witchcraft. We wouldn't touch it with a 40-foot pole, as we'd say. But rebellion is just as the sin of witchcraft. It's the very same. And stubbornness, or like a mule, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected thee from being king. Verse 5, we read this word departing. It says, they departed from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Isaiah 59 and 13, we read, entrance, transgressing and living against the Lord. Surely we as a nation have departed away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, concerning and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Do we not see that in our day? Uttering words of falsehood, don't we hear it every day? In Hebrews 3 and 12, Paul warns us to take heed, brethren, he says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Departing from the living God. We have to take heed. Is this not a day of falling away? Are we not hearing from time to time so many departing from the living God and seeing the man of sin being revealed? Departing from thy judgments. This is an age when people, they don't want to hear justice. They don't want judgment. They don't want good judgments. We have noticed Daniel's approach to God and Daniel's appeal to God. Now, could we notice Daniel's assurance in God? Look at verse 9. It says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. He says, although we have rebelled against him. You know, Daniel here, he acknowledges the righteousness of God and all his judgments. For he didn't accuse God for dealing with them falsely. They were brought, the judgments of God were brought upon them, and they thoroughly deserved them. Look at verse 7. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Daniel knew that God was a righteous God. Look at verse 16. He says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousnesses. Look at verse 14. He says, the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, and none can say unto him, what doeth thou? That well-known verse in Psalm 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Not only was Daniel assured in God's righteousness, but you know, every child of God has the same promise. If we turn to Isaiah 61. Turn over to Isaiah 61 and the verse 10. Isaiah 61. He says, I will greatly rejoice. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Daniel knew the righteousness of God. Look at verse 9. Here is a believing appeal to the mercy of God. He says, God hath been always ready to pardon sin when we turn from sin. Look at Daniel 9 and verse 9. To the Lord our God belongeth mercy and forgiveness. Surely it's so comforting to us hell-deserving sinners just to know that mercy and forgiveness belong to God. Just to know that mercy and forgiveness belong to God. What a blessing it is. And that also righteousness belongeth to God. Psalm 62 and verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou rendest to every man according to his work. And we read in Exodus 34 and verse 6. The Lord our God is gracious and merciful, forgiving iniquity. Daniel said, the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. Daniel believed in a pardoning God. And a blessing to know that our God is a pardoning God. If you would turn with me to Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. Daniel here, he looks back at the encouragements of his faith. We also find it in Isaiah 55. Nehemiah 9, first of all, in the verse 17. Nehemiah 9 and the verse 17. And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Here's a people, it says, they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, we read, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. There's mercy with the Lord. David looks back, as I said before, for the encouragements of his faith, there in the chapter 9, in the verse 15 of Daniel. And it says, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. He looks back and he remembers this. And look what he says. It was all for thy name's sake. Daniel is now praying earnestly for God's glory. Look at chapter 9 and the verse 17. What we read here in verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Verse 18 we read, for thy name's sake. Verse 19, for thine own sake. And it was all to God's glory. Daniel had this in mind. We've noticed Daniel's approach, Daniel's appeal, and Daniel's assurance. But finally, I want us to see Daniel's answer. Look at the verse 20 and 21 of Daniel 9. It says, And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God, the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me. He touched me. Here we have Daniel in this verse says, while I was speaking in prayer, I was touched. Oh, how we would just pray to God that he would come and touch us as we would come to pray. Oh, that the Lord would come and touch us. It says, by the Lord, even the man Gabriel touched me. This, he touched me, it says. Oh, to be touched by God. You know, when I read that, I thought of Jacob. Remember how Jacob was touched? Over there in Genesis 32, have you Genesis 32, and we read from verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. At verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And he was a changed man. You know, Jacob never walked the same when God touched him. And look at Daniel 8. Just turn over to Daniel 8 there, the next chapter back where we're looking at. Daniel 8 and the verse 18. Remember, Daniel was touched too. Look at verse 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me, and he set me upright. See, when God touches our life, it sets us upright. That life is upright. We're not bent, as it were, towards sin. We're not bent and running after the things of the world. But when God touches our life, that life is upright. And that life tries to please God in everything they do. Upright. He set Daniel upright. He touched me. This man, Gabriel, you know, was a messenger sent from God, being caused swiftly, to fly swiftly. He touched me, it says. Now, that reminded me of Luke 1. When I read of that, it'd be Gabriel. Look at Luke 1. And I want to read from verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Here's one that came from the very presence of God. This is the same Gabriel. And you know, when God touches us, not only does he help us on our way, but we read in Daniel 10 and verse 18, he strengthens us. When God touches us, he strengthens us. And remember that verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look at Daniel 10 and 18. Daniel 10, 18. Then there came again and touched me. Here's another time. Daniel was touched, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Oh, how we need God to touch us. How do we need to be strengthened in the inner man in these wicked and evil days? How we need the touch of the Almighty. And when God touches a people, he sets them praying. He sets them upon their knees. Look at Daniel 10 and verse 10. Daniel 10 and the verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me. There's another touched. Which set me upon my knees. See that? When God touches a people, he sets them upon their knees. did not speak of prayer. How we need to be on our knees in these wicked and evil days. Here, Daniel was set upon his knees. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees. Oh, for the messenger of God. Oh, for the power of God's might, God's Spirit, to come and touch us. To come swiftly, just like as Gabriel came to Daniel. Come swiftly and touch us, even in the place of prayer. Oh, that one that standeth in the presence of God would come suddenly, come quickly and touch us, and we would be different people. You know, we wouldn't have, this prayer meeting wouldn't be long enough. Everybody couldn't pray if God touched us. There were so many wanting to pray. And we just cry to God that we might know his presence tonight, and we might know these glad tidings when this presence of God would come and touch us, and that we might be blessed even in our own souls.